and reading today from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean, but the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let us pray. Gracious God, we do come with praise and thanksgiving in our hearts for your many good gifts. We give thanks for the world in which we live, the country and community in which we live, the bounty of the land we harvest. And yet, O God, we recognize always that also within reach are people whose lives are not filled with the bounty we enjoy. Help us, O God, even as we give thanks, to turn outward to a world in need. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I just need to share with you this morning a little bit of the abuse that I suffer as a minister in your congregation. I specifically told Paul Lamont last night in the midst of the hockey games that were being played that if he were to sit beside me and worship this morning, he was not allowed to talk about the hockey scores. To which he replied, "No worry, I would never do that to you." He put it in print instead. I'm not going to share it with you because it's too painful. I have to say, if I didn't know better, I would have thought that God had delivered the weather of the past few months right into my outstretched arms. While you folk were enduring endless days of rain here over the summer, I was basking in endless days of sunshine on the East Coast. And then I returned to this glorious warmth of the past 6 weeks here. It has been an incredible gift for someone who loves summer, and I haven't taken 1 minute of it for granted. Every day the sun shines, I am thankful, deeply grateful. You know, in fact, at one point this summer, I actually thought that perhaps it was a divine gift delivered just to me. I was tossing that sort of self-centered theological notion around in my head when a cousin came to visit at the cottage. And when we asked her about her siblings, she said she hadn't been talking to her brother for a month. Well, that's not necessarily unusual in a family, you know, those things happen. But as we asked more about it, she said, well, it was best not to talk to him, actually, a potato farmer, in the midst of 4 weeks of intense sunshine and no rain. And then I remembered I had faced that dilemma growing up, which was reinforced surrounded by farmers in the eastern townships of Quebec. How do you give thanks for endless days of sunshine and heat in the presence of farmers who count on rain for the crops? How do you rejoice in your baby's birth when your cousin's baby was stillborn just a few weeks before? How do you give thanks for the peace and beauty of your country where everywhere you turn, other countries are devastated by war, by natural disasters, by genocide, by evil of every kind? You know, so easily our gratitude for what we enjoy in life can turn into attitude. That insidious attitude of which we are often not even aware. The attitude that we are deserving, that we are favored, that we are blessed. The people of Israel were taught to be thankful for the land of abundance they were about to enter. They were reminded to always be conscious of their wealth and prosperity, and conscious that it was not due to their own wisdom or hard work, but to God's grace. Do not say to yourself, "My power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth." But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, so that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your ancestors, as he is doing today. You know, it's no coincidence that in Luke's story that we read today, the only one to turn back to give thanks was an outsider. Not one of God's chosen people, not one to whom the promised land had been gifted, not one typically seen as deserving of God's grace. It's no coincidence at all that he was the one who recognized the change in himself, and he was the one to turn around and give thanks, while the others went blindly on their way, following protocol, too caught up in tradition to see the new thing in their midst. It was Luke's reminder to those who took their heritage for granted, and it's Luke's reminder to us today as well, that we can too easily turn gratitude into attitude and live our lives with a blind eye to others whose good fortune has not been as abundant as ours. I'm sure you've noticed that people have been voicing their impatience lately with the phrase, "Our thoughts and prayers are with you," as we respond to the devastating evil that seems to abound in our world. Add to that phrase, I would say, the use of the term, "We are so blessed," which has also become commonplace these days. Both of those phrases, I think, point to the danger of gratitude turning into attitude, because when we expect to be blessed, when we assume we are entitled, when we think we are the chosen ones, that we are somehow deserving of God's grace and love and protection, then we can too easily lean back in our chairs around a bountiful table and give thanks for all of our blessings while doing little more than tweeting our thoughts and prayers to those less blessed, less fortunate, less lucky. I'm really sorry. You just wanted to come to worship on this lovely Thanksgiving weekend and feel good about being grateful, didn't you? And so we should, because collectively our lives are filled with good things. We should indeed be grateful for every moment of good health we enjoy, for every relationship that graces our lives, even the ones that sometimes challenge and change us. We need to recover the lesson our parents taught us. You know, to say thank you for those gifts, even the ones we hated. Because our lives are not always filled with goodness and joy. Martin Luther, when asked about the true nature of worship, simply pointed to the story of the 10 lepers. Gratitude is the first and foremost way in which we worship the one we follow. But gratitude must not result in apathy or in passive reaction to the misfortune of others. Rather, it must always move us forward away from the comfort of our good fortune out to a world that counts on us for action. You know, I worry sometimes about how much we love this worship space and the quality of worship we enjoy here together, not because it's a bad thing to worship well and to find peace and courage and strength in our time together, but in the words of that hymn from the 70s, we need to remember that worship and work must be one. You notice that Jesus didn't say to the one leper who returned to give thanks, "Here, come sit at my feet and relax." He sent him on his way. And so we who have the privilege of gathering on this Thanksgiving Sunday to express gratitude for our good fortune, we must return to the world. We must return to the challenges that await us and also to the grave and vast challenges that await our broken world. Our world needs way more than thoughts and prayers and paper towels to clean up the mess it is in. So like the leper who was astute enough to recognize his good fortune and be thankful for it, so too we pause in thankful gratitude, but then we go back out into the world by our Lord to be his hands and his feet. So as you gather around your bountiful tables this weekend, indeed give thanks. Give thanks for all of it, for the joys and the sorrows, for the delights and the dysfunction, for the marvels and the messes, because life is rich and deep. But once you have turned to express gratitude, then turn again. Turn back out to the world and shine that light of love and mercy, which is the light of our Lord, and shine it not just in word, but in deed.